Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Realo dumidise kaliana lalamat lalaha Jesu Christo.
We greet you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's why we're here. Amen. It's Pastor Craig and Rebecca. We've been friends with them for a long time. Their parents, we've been friends with them for a long time. It was a great opportunity to come out here to Casper, Wyoming, our first visit to your city. And it's lovely with the mountains around. And you could like it here, hey? Yeah, very nice. But we are, as he said, missionaries to Botswana. And our children usually travel with us. But we made other arrangements for them this weekend because today is our 23rd wedding anniversary. Yeah. So we thought if we're going to travel all that way to Wyoming on our anniversary, then the children are going to have other things to do and we're just going to enjoy some time together, which we have. It's been fabulous. And Pastor put us up out there at the Come On In. That place is amazing. Woo, fun. Okay. So, but our kids, Austin is our oldest. He's 18, and he'll be heading next month down to Evangel University to study biology. So he won't be returning to Africa with us, and that is going to be, that's just something I don't think about yet. We just leave that out there. God's grace will be sufficient. And then our daughter, Stephanie, just turned 15 this week, so she's going to be a freshman in high school. And then our little guy is Cameron, and he's 11, and he's going to be in sixth grade. And so they are a wonderful addition to our ministry. They are not missionaries' kids. They are missionary kids as we involve them in the work that we do. And they're an integral part of that. But we have just completed last year at Christmas time our first three-year term in Botswana. And we're planning to return to Botswana right after Christmas this year. So we've been working hard towards that end and believing and trusting God to put everything in order so that we can get back on the ground over there. Well, in January of 2010, we landed in Botswana knowing that God had called us there to train pastors and leaders to help disciple the harvest in Africa, a vast harvest, 15 million people accepting Christ in 10 years' time. A vast harvest, but it's wide, but it's not deep. And so God called us there to help train pastors and leaders. But after we were on the ground just 4 months, we're unpacking boxes as we were moving into the house that the Lord had helped us find, and we're settling in, and Bob comes to me and he starts saying, "Barb, I just feel like I could pastor a church." We're like, "Well, that's great. That's because you're a great pastor, and you're probably just missing that comfort zone of pastoring, and so that's probably why you feel that way, because we didn't come here to pastor a church. In fact, missionaries have never pastored a church in Botswana, so we didn't come here to do that." So we let it go. A couple days later, he's like, "Man, I just feel like I could pastor a church." "It's okay, honey. You're a good pastor." And this went on for 2 weeks where he just said, "I just can't shake this feeling to pastor a church." Well, then it was late one night on a Monday night, and the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Botswana called us. And he said, "Bob, we have this church 20 minutes outside the city that has just lost their pastor. He's leaving the Assemblies. He's taking all the leaders with him, and we don't have a national pastor ready to step in. Would you be willing to pastor this church?" Ha! It was a ho moment, Pastor Craig. Ho! Now we knew what that stirring was all about. We didn't even have to pray. Said, "Pastor Bishop Abibo, we will pastor that church because we know that God has brought us here for such a time as this." And even though it was with fear and trembling, because pastoring in America is one thing, but pastoring cross-culturally, we didn't have any classes in that, folks, and no idea but the Spirit to lead us. So we went, and 2 weeks later, we stood in front of that congregation for the first time. And there were 250 of them crammed into a room about a third this size. Wouldn't you say? Yep. 250 of them, all right. But as we looked out at our congregation for the first time, we could see that 200 of them were under the age of 12. Yeah. Yeah. How many chairs are in here? 300. So 200 of them are filled with children under the age of 12. And so our pastoral strategy changed, and we began to understand, as God revealed to us, how perilous it is to be a child in Botswana. They're neglected, they're at high risk for disease, and they're tormented by demons. One Sunday morning when we got to our church, there was this little girl who just was dropped off on the dirt outside our church. We were getting ready for the service. A car drove up, which is unusual. It's a very, very poor part of the city. And there weren't many cars that came to church. People just walk. But this car dropped her off, pushed her out the back door, closed the door, and drove off. And she was maybe 2 years old. Maybe. And she just looked around, and she began to cry. And we picked her up and took care of her and got her calmed down and, you know, just kept her through the service. But what the Lord showed us is that this was an example of how the children are just brushed aside in Botswana. Just kind of in the way, get out of our way. Yeah, go to the church, get out of our hair. That's the type of thing. That's the type of situation. So we began to see that this wasn't an isolated incident, but very telling of how children are regarded in the culture. Then it was December of 2011. We'd been working with the children. We'd been training people to teach children, helping to make little disciples for Jesus. And we thought that what we wanted to do was we wanted to do a Christmas program at Christmas time. And I'm sure you do those here at Casper Faith. You get up, you do the Mary and Joseph story. Yeah? Okay, I see a few heads nodding. Okay, good. You're familiar with that. All right, so we wanted to do something similar. Very simple. We are using silhouettes to tell the Christmas story. That way we could just put a big sheet up here stretched over a frame. The children could just get in costume behind the sheet, and then with a light, it would be silhouettes. And then we could tell the story of Christmas. So we were working that Sunday morning to get this ready. And so there was a window right in the back of the platform of the church, and it needed to be covered with a black plastic garbage bag so that the lighting would work. And so we're ripping duct tape off, and two little guys were helping me. They're about 12, 13 years old, and we're just working along. And I thought, you know, we're just chatting it up like you do with kids. And I thought, well, you know, what can I ask them about or talk to them about? Well, it's Christmas time, and at Christmas time, kids think of presents and gifts. And so I thought, well, I'd ask a question like I would ask here. I said, what are you wishing for Christmas this year? Because this little guy had talked about watching TV. So I thought, they have more resources than most. If he has access to a TV, maybe he would get some little Christmas present. And I thought he would say something like a soccer ball or a shirt or a pair of shoes, something very simple, very basic. But he looked at me. He didn't even hesitate for a moment. He didn't stop to think about it. He looked right at me. He said, Mama Ruti, which means Mrs. Pastor, I just wish there were no more evil spirits in the world. I said, ooh, Warona. I said, do they bother you at your house? Yeah, sometimes they do. And they do. I said, what do you do when that happens? He said, well, we get out the Bible and we read Bible verses. And then we get out the gospel songs, and we play gospel songs. And when we do that, it makes them really mad, and they leave. Aha, that's good preaching. The worship and the word will put demons to flight every time, anywhere, all around the earth, any culture, 24/7. Hallelujah. Praise God for the power in his name. But the problem in Warona's family and why those demons are coming and allowed there is what we find is problematic all over Botswana and Africa, is that they put Jesus in one pocket, but they keep the witch doctor in the other pocket, because that's all they know. Their default is the witch doctor. 80% of South Africans, no matter how much money they make or what walk of life they're from, 80% church people and none go to the witch doctor in times of trouble, because that's the highest power they know. And so they hear about Jesus, and it all sounds good. Yeah, I want that. Put him here. But they aren't discipled to know that Jesus is all you'll ever need. Jesus is all, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So the two don't mix, and so the demons torment the children. They come in the night in the form of their ancestral spirits that come to them, demons disguised as grandmas, grandpas, aunties, uncles, and they make demands of the children. You know, if you don't do this, I'll kill them, I'll poison them. They just run their lives that way. Everyone lives in constant fear of the demonic realm. You don't have to convince anybody of evil spirits in Africa. They're more aware of that realm than they are of the physical realm. And what they do then, because they don't know in Christ, they aren't rooted and grounded enough to know, to go to him, they take him to the witch doctor for the children. They pay money to have strings tied around their neck, their wrists, their waists, their ankles. They think those strings will then keep the demons away. But it does nothing more than invite those demons in to ravage the children's lives. So the children are plagued by the abuse and the neglect. They're plagued by the demons. And the third thing that is devastating the children is the disease. Botswana has the second highest incidence of AIDS in the world. If you check the CDC website, they'll tell you that 1 in 3 are infected. About 33%. But when we're actually on the ground and working with people and working with the medical personnel, it's much higher. And the reason that the CDC website doesn't show that is because people don't go get tested. They don't want to know. They just want to live their life and do their own thing. They don't want to know. We were, our doctor that we use when we need medical help, Dr. Akintola, is a missionary doctor from Nigeria to Botswana. And he told us last October when we were in his office, he said he was just so discouraged that day because he regularly has patients who need blood transfusions. But the blood bank of Botswana is depleted because there aren't enough healthy people to donate blood. So he was telling us he gives his own blood as often as he can for his patients, which is just a couple times a year that you're allowed to do that. And so the last time that he went to give blood, there were 56 men in line ready to give blood and do their duty for their country. But, of course, before you are allowed to donate, they test everybody to make sure it's healthy blood in the first place. And as they started working their way through that line of men, every single one tested positive for AIDS. Every single one. 55 in one day. And that's what it looks like all across the country. Men, women, children. This disease is devastating, gutting the nation. And a complete generation is missing because of the disease. This is the legacy that is left for the children of Botswana if something doesn't change. If something doesn't change, they too will contract the disease and their lives will be cut short. 40 years ago, Botswana was one of the poorest nations on the earth. They had a gross domestic national product of just $70 per person per year. But then something happened 40 years ago when I was just a child. This happened. Diamonds. Diamonds were discovered in Botswana 40 years ago. And this resource has transformed the country economically. They have gone from the bottom to the top of African nations. They are the envy of other African nations for their political and their economic stability. Botswana is producing 22% of the world's diamonds. And as I said, it has economically transformed the nation. It doesn't look the same as it used to. But what we discovered in our first 3 years there in Botswana is Botswana's true national treasure. And what it is the children. Right now, though, as I told you, they are so vulnerable without righteousness to protect them. In this culture of moral depravity, ancestral worship, abuse, and neglect, they're completely vulnerable. You know, Botswana does a great job of protecting this resource. Just 2 hours west of our home in Francistown is the world's largest diamond mine, Orapa, the village of Orapa. There it is. You can go visit that. You can go visit the city. You can tour the mine, but you have to be invited in order to do it. Someone inside the city has to personally invite you, and you have to give them your passport details, which they then take to the security gate, and you have to stop at that gate when you go to the city. And they have to verify that you are an invited guest, ask you how many days you're staying, give you a pass, and then you can enter the gate. Because you see, there's a wall all the way around the city of Orapa to keep this resource safe because of its extreme value to the country. Once you're inside those gates, it looks like no African village you've ever seen. The streets are clean. There's grass, there's parks, playgrounds, shops, hospitals. People don't even lock their cars. They don't lock their houses. Garages don't even have doors. Why is that? Because inside the city of Arapa, because of that wall, there's safety there. The crime is kept on the outside. Inside, the people are allowed to be safe and to thrive because that wall is protecting their most treasured national resource. But for the children, this is not the case. The wall of Arapa keeps the bad out, keeps the good in. But what's doing that for the children, for the true national resource of Botswana? Bob's coming to tell you more about that. It's on the back table, in the basket, on our table. We have plenty for everyone, so please take one, because we need your prayers. We can't fight this battle on behalf of the children without you helping us. And their part, we need the church to stand with us in finances and prayer. So please take this to remind you, because we forget things. Put it in a place where you'll remember it, the fridge and your Bible, and pray for us, would you? On the back, we have put our contact information, of course, but at the bottom, we put specifically three things how you can pray. Number one, would you please pray that God will raise up more people in Botswana to work with children? Bob's going to tell you more about that and that aspect of our ministry. But we are looking, the hope of the world is the healthy local church. The hope of Casper is the healthy local church. And the hope of the world, the hope of Botswana, is the healthy local church. Right now we have about 70 Assemblies of God churches and preaching points in Botswana. And if the church can be healthy in each of those communities, the children are going to have a chance. We need people who love kids and know how to minister to them in every single church. Would you pray that God would raise them up? That's a work of the Spirit. Only God can call someone to work for Him. God does that. And when they put up their hand and say, train me, I'll give my life to work with children, then we can help. All right? And while you're praying for Botswana, would you pray for Casper Faith? Because I know that there are thousands of children within the reach of this church. And they are just waiting for the light to shine in their lives. But it takes people who are willing to hear the voice of God and to say, whoa. I hear that. I'm willing, God. I'll give my time, my talent, my resources to invest in children. I'm sure there aren't enough children's workers here. There's always a need for more. So when you hear the voice of the Spirit talking to you, say, why not me? Why not me? God, I'm willing. You can't be too old. You can't be too young. We can use all ages to invest in the children. So pray for Botswana's children and leaders, and pray that for your local church as well, because Casper Faith needs a whole army of people to reach the thousands of children that are waiting for the message of the gospel. Secondly, would you pray that God will give us lasting fruit for His kingdom? It's not hard to get a child to raise their hand in Botswana or in Casper and say, I want Jesus in my heart. For me as a kid, I did it about every week, every chance. Do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? Yes, I do. Okay, that's one thing, but the deeper work of the Spirit is to make a disciple, for roots to grow down deep into the love of God so that they can eventually reproduce themselves in others, and that's where the transformation of a nation comes, from children who are rooted and grounded and grow to become adults. So pray that God will give us lasting fruit, disciples for Him. And finally, thirdly, as you know, missionaries come home on furlough every 4 years. We're home every first term is 3 years, and terms after that are four. So we come home to build up our support base to sustain us over the next term. So we are working towards that end now. We are believing God that by Thanksgiving of this year, we'll have our entire financial team in place. We're about 75% of the way right now. We need some more monthly partners, more churches to stand with us monthly, and then the cash offerings as well that are coming in week by week as you receive the offering at the end of the service. Those goals have to be met before they'll give us clearance to return and get back on the ground and carry on this work. So will you just pray specifically that God will do that with us and for us on behalf of His kingdom by Thanksgiving of this year? Then in December, we can pack it all up and right after Christmas, head back. So if you'll pray those specific things for us, God will use you mightily to build His kingdom in Botswana. So thank you so much.
certainly the first time that we've been able to minister in this state, and what a privilege it is. Pastor Craig and Rebecca, as you said, have been great friends of ours, and we've been keeping in contact while we were over in Africa, and what a blessing that is to know them, and Barb just alluded to that as well. We go back a ways, so we appreciate the invitation this morning. Thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure to worship with you this morning. What a great presence of the Spirit here today. As my wife said, it's our anniversary today, and she is a blessing to me. And you know, the word says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And God gave me and blessed my life with a very good thing. And I'm very enriched. This morning, as she was talking about the wall, as we were looking at the children's ministries and the things that were taking place in Botswana and need to take place, the Holy Spirit brought us to Ezekiel 22, verse 30. I'm sure you've probably read this verse, but this is what it says in Ezekiel 22, verse 30. I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land, but I found no one. That verse tells us that when we walk in right relationship with God, when we are walking in accordance with His will, when I make His word my guidepost, when I'm walking and listening to the Spirit and He is leading and guiding my steps, it says that God puts around me a wall of righteousness that the enemy cannot get through. There's a wall of righteousness that is rimmed around me, that the evil of the world, yes, we do face trials, we do face the things in our life, persecutions and things like that, but there is a greater destruction of the enemy. The enemy has come to steal and kill and destroy. And those kinds of disasters cannot come into my life when I am in Christ. He cannot steal my peace. He cannot take away my hope. He cannot steal the assurance of my salvation, and He cannot take away the life that I have in Christ. He cannot steal my soul. My life is hidden in Christ through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is sealed with the Holy Spirit, and nothing can take that away. But for the ones that don't know Him, for the ones that don't follow Him, that wall is not there. And the enemy is able to walk right in and steal and kill and destroy. There's a little boy in our, I wasn't going to tell this, but I feel like I need to share this morning. There's a little boy that his parents had both died. His grandmother was in our church. She was very poor, but she was left to raise little Sotley. And Sotley was just a little boy, just 6 or 7 years old. And grandma is left to raise him. And so grandma sits along the side of the street just trying to earn a nickel or a dime selling some produce each day just so she can have enough to eat at the end of the day for herself and her grandson, Sotley. But she was sitting at her stand one day. She told this to me shortly after we became pastors in Botswana. She said, I was sitting there and the Holy Spirit said, you need to go home now and find your grandson, Sotley. She obeyed the Holy Spirit. She went home, and she couldn't find him at home. She went into the neighborhood. She asked her friends and said, have you seen my grandson, Sotley? Have you been playing together today? No, haven't seen your grandson. We played earlier, but I haven't seen him for the last couple hours. I don't know where he is. She next door to her lived a witch doctor. Witch doctor had some children. Sometimes he played with them, so she went into his yard. Have you seen my grandson, Sotley? Has he been playing with your boys today? No, I have not seen your grandson. I don't know where he is. As she walked out of the wall and out of his compound to go back to her house, she noticed parked across the street a strange van that she hadn't seen before. She walked up to the van and she started looking in the windows of this van. And there in the back of the van, she found her grandson, Sotley. He had been tied up and he was about to be kidnapped. And if she hadn't followed the promptings of the Holy Spirit, Sotley would have become one of the lost children of Botswana. You see, every year, there are children that just disappear off the streets and in the neighborhoods of Botswana because the witch doctors and the Sengomas kidnap them and they use them for satanic sacrifice. It's a part of their culture, and they just go missing. And that kind of wall, you see, doesn't exist. It exists for solely because the Spirit was able to talk to Grandma, and Grandma obeyed the voice of the Spirit so the enemy couldn't walk in and steal Soltley. But for many of the children of Botswana, that doesn't exist today. And God wants to build a wall of protection around the children, a wall of righteousness around the children. They are preyed on in Botswana. They are victims of the enemy who has come to steal and kill and destroy. And I believe God has heard the cries of the children. I believe He has heard, and He has said, enough is enough. Who will rescue the children? Who will stand in the gap in the wall on behalf of the children and help build this wall of righteousness so they don't have to be destroyed? And our family has heard that call. And we've said, you can count on us. We will stand in that gap. And for everyone that hears that call and says, you know what, we're going to partner, we're going to partner in prayer. They become a brick in that wall. For every person and every pastor that says, I'm going to be involved in children's ministries, I'm going to be involved in helping to build this and stand it, I'm going to be a part of that wall of righteousness on behalf of the children so that the enemy can't come in and destroy the land and destroy the life in that land. That's what God is doing today. Not just in Botswana, but you know that it's happening here too. You know that it's happening in America. When I grew up back in the 60s and 70s, you can tell by looking at me, I'm not the youngest guy in the world. I went to the mission field late. You know, I don't have much hair anymore and starting to sag in places I don't like to sag in and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's the way life is, isn't it? So I grew up way back in the 60s and the 70s before we even had computers and cell phones. Didn't even know what a smartphone was back in those days, did we? But we could leave the house at the beginning of the day. We could go anywhere in town, or I could ride my bike into town. And then when it was supper time, Mom could go out the back door and say, hey, tell Bob it's time to come home. Get the message to him somehow, it's time to come home. And she knew that everything would be okay. I'd show up for supper time. I didn't miss many meals. I liked my mom's cooking. But there was no problem. But we don't dare do that today, do we? We are always vigilant in America, even today. Where are our children? We have to be very careful about how we and make sure that we are protecting our children. Because the culture, even in America, has changed. Even in America, we see a disintegration. We see cracks in the wall of righteousness that used to protect our children and our families. And it's breaking. And so this message that God has given me, I believe, isn't just for Botswana. It's also for this country. And it's for any country that wants to listen and hear the voice of the Lord. That God wants to do a work and He wants to rebuild a wall of righteousness if His people will hear His voice. Because His heart is for the children. Too many times we see people, not just in Botswana, but even in America, kicking their kids to the curb. They're in the way. Let the church raise them. How many times have we sent, and I'm sure your children's ministry here, at times you will have kids that will come in. Their parents don't even come here. They don't come. They just send their kids there. Because it's some free time for the parent. They let the church take care of it. What does the Bible say about that? As I was studying this whole idea of what God wanted us to do and realizing God was leading us into children's ministry, I thought, I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to find out everything I need to know. What does God really believe about this? And as I opened the Scripture and as I read through this, I found out that there isn't one Scripture verse that talks about the church being involved in children's ministry. There isn't one that says, now, you know, make sure you hire a good children's pastor. Make sure you have these kinds of things that take place for your children. Now, does that mean that I'm against children's ministry? Not at all. I'm 100% for children's ministry. Don't get me wrong. But you see, where the breakdown has come is where the Bible says the responsibility of the children is placed in whose lap? It's the parents, isn't it? It's us as the moms and dads. See, that's where the breakdown has come. The breakdown has come because as parents, we have shirked our responsibilities. And sometimes we've pushed them off. I saw that as a teacher through the years. I taught for 20 years. And I can tell you there's a great difference when I started teaching in 1980 and between the last year when I stopped teaching in 1999. Between the attitude of the parents as they in their approach in parenting towards their children. And over the years, more and more and more, I was hearing parents that were coming in just frustrated with their kids, didn't see them. They just saw them as why won't my kid do this? And they were more in the way than anything else. Because the parents just wanted to go on and live their own selfish life. The Bible is very clear what we need to do as parents. And the first thing is their attitude towards kids. What does the Bible say? What should our attitude be towards children? Psalm 127 says this, children are a blessing from the Lord. They're a reward from Him. Children are a blessing from the Lord. When's the last time you heard a parent say that? Sometimes just the opposite, isn't it? Children are a blessing from the Lord. And if God says that, if God says that is true, then guess I need to have that same attitude, don't I? I need to change my way of thinking. I need to change my attitude. I need to change my approach and start to see my children the way God sees them in my representation of Him to them. The responsibility lies with me, the Bible says. And so the first call is for me to be doing things right as a parent. And it's calling us as parents to do things that are right. And that's why the enemy has done such a masterful job of destroying our homes, of destroying the family network in the world today, not just in Botswana, but even here in America. We know that the disintegration of the family has been great. It doesn't mean that there's plan B as far as do we raise children according to God's word? Yes. And some of us that are single parents, some of you that are single parents, I'm telling you, God has special grace for you. He has special strength for you to carry on and to do the work that He has called you to do. But I'm telling you that God is faithful, and when you put your mind to it, He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He will help you. He will give you the strength. He will give you the resources. He will give you the focus that you need as that single parent to help raise your child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord when you commit your life to Him. And the reward will come from Him. But it's because He wants to build this wall of righteousness for the children. He loves them. His heart is for them. His heart breaks for them. I believe the Father cries for them. I really do. I believe that there's a deep passion that He has today for the children. And I believe it's one of the messages that is getting stronger and stronger in the world today. He wants to reach the children. It starts with us as parents. But it doesn't just stop there. There is the responsibility of the church. What should be the role of the church then? What should be the role of our children's ministry? What should be that part? And I'm not trying to give you vision or anything, but I'm just saying, when we look at the biblical model, first it starts in the home. But you know that there's many children out there that don't know the Lord today. We find that in Botswana when you've got 200 children and only a handful of them had a parent in church. And that was just a small representation of the rest of the country. What is the role of the church then? Well, I believe for Christian families, the role of the church comes in, and I believe it's like a healthy vitamin. It's a supplement that helps to make our children and our families stronger. I believe it's used that way. But what about those children that come to us that their parents don't follow the Lord? And I believe that's the opportunity the Lord gives us, the opportunity that the Lord is providing for us to reach those children. and to disciple those children for him. They're not going to look nice all the time. Some of them are going to smell. They're not going to know how to act in church because they don't have a frame of reference. They don't have anything that to tell them this is how we are. But God wants us to love them unconditionally. Their lives have been broken apart, but God is calling us. I believe he's calling the church today. Reach my children. Reach my children. They are lost and they are hurting. They have been abandoned by the ones that are supposed to be taking care of them. But the Father in heaven is saying, I have given them life and I desire none of them to perish. I want them to know the truth, and the truth will set them free. And the truth will set them free. And the truth will set them free. And I believe God wants to move in a mighty way through the church to reach the lost children of the world. We are reaching tomorrow's generation. In Botswana, we are reaching the future pastors and future ministries or missionaries of that nation. We are also reaching tomorrow's community leaders. We are reaching the future government leaders of Botswana as we reach the children today. You know that we can go right into the public schools today and they will allow us to share anything that we want. We have a great opportunity in Botswana right now to share the gospel in every elementary school. God has provided a great open door. But he wants to do the same thing here today. He wants to also raise up people today to reach the children of Casper, to reach the children of Wyoming, to have a heart for the children, to raise up this wall of righteousness. How are we doing it in Botswana? In Botswana, we've been training during the last 8 months of our term, we were able to train over 100 Sunday school teachers. We also train four trainers. Those four trainers are continuing to train other Sunday school teachers. We're trying to release that ministry into them so we can continue to coordinate other ministries to the children. And churches are coming on board. They want this for their children. They want to reach the children in their villages. They just don't know how. And so we have the resources, we have the facilities and the things that are needed to help coordinate the effort to expand this ministry to children around Botswana. I noticed on your missionary board that you support Phil Malcolm. Phil Malcolm works with Africa's Hope down in Springfield, and we've had Phil to our place and to Botswana at least twice during our term. And he's helped to help us to put this plan together. And so we work in relationship with him to do that. Continue to support Phil. Continue to support his family because they're helping us and they're helping us to reach the children of Botswana. Thank you for doing that. But I also would ask you to consider today, what part can you play? What is God asking you to do today? What is he asking you to do here in Casper? What is he asking you to do at Faith Assembly? As a parent, this is a spiritual battle that we are in. And when God calls us to do something, there's always an anointing that goes with it. And in just a few minutes, parents, I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray for a fresh anointing to fall upon you to do the work that God has called you to do. Whatever stage of life and whichever season you find yourself in. And as parents, you know, we go through different seasons. But there's an anointing for each one. And then I'm going to pray that for those of you that are feeling a tug from the Spirit today, I believe that as we've been sharing with you this morning, that the Holy Spirit's just been tugging on some of your hearts. And maybe somebody here is saying, you know what? God is calling me to help in the children's ministry. He's calling me to help in this area. And I need to do that today. And the Holy Spirit is pinpointing those people even right now. And I want to pray that the Holy Spirit moves in this place so that no one falls through the cracks and the breach in the wall in Casper does not get any bigger, but it gets smaller. That a strong wall of righteousness is built around the children in this region. And he's using you to do it. We respond to the Holy Spirit's leading. You don't have to have 20 years of teaching experience to do that. You just need a heart after God. All we need is a heart after God. He doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. We have to hear the call. Then we have to step out. We have to hear the call. When we step out, he does that. Listen, I know that firsthand. When he called me to pastor in Spencer, 20 years teaching experience, God says, pastor this church. I had no idea what I was getting into. I argued with the Lord for 6 months. I said, no, I don't have any experience. I don't have any education, and I didn't. I had zero education when it came to pastoring. God said to me, I didn't ask you to be equipped. I asked you, are you going to answer my call? And he miraculously and supernaturally arranged it through the district leadership on down. Everything lined up, and I stepped into that pulpit for the first time in 2000. I had no experience. It was a church of 86 people. But God said, I have called you. I will equip you. And over the next 8 years, as we pastored that church, I earned my credentials. I was, and my wife and I were ordained in 2008. And during that time, we saw the church grow from 86 to almost 200 people. We went from a building of 4,000 square feet, and we built a brand new building of 12,000 square feet. And the church grew, and it had impact in the community. Not because of anything I did, but because I said yes to the call, and he equipped us. And he'll do the same for you if you just say, Lord, I'm answering your call this morning. See, I want to raise some faith here this morning. It's not my story, but I want to use that to raise faith in you. If you're hearing that call, don't let fear get in the way. Don't let your thinking of, no, I can't do this, get in the way. He just wants a willing heart. A willing heart after him, and he will equip you and use you. Because there's kids today that need your love. All we need to do is love kids. That's all it takes. Someone that will care, and somebody needs your love today to hear the call. Will you respond to his call today? Oh, Father, today we come before you, and I thank you for the time that we've spent in your presence. Father, today the message has come to us, and your message is clear that you desire to build a wall of righteousness around your children. And it starts first in our homes. It starts first in our homes. And Father, I know that as parents, it is a difficult time in this world to raise children. There are many challenges. There are many distractions. There's lots of influence from many different areas. But Father, you have not called us to an impossible task when we allow you to do the leading and the guiding. And so this morning, Father, I'm asking you to anoint every parent in this room with the fresh anointing of your Spirit, to pour it out on each one for the task that is before them. Whatever season they find themselves in, whether they have young children, whether they have teenagers, whether they're going through the time of releasing them off to college, or whether they find themselves in the grandparent phase, Father, whatever one it is, there is a special anointing for each one. There's a special move of your Spirit for each one. And I'm asking for it to fall fresh and new. Father, first of all, I ask that you would check our attitudes, that we will make sure that we are seeing our children and our grandchildren as blessings from you. As a blessing from you. And then in and through that, you take that and you give us what we need to minister to eat with your love to each child, with each one of their bents, with each one of their with their strengths, Father, help us to see them and to bless them and to train them in the fear of the Lord. Bless these parents today and bless the families today. Make them stronger. Make them filled with your joy and with your strength in the name of Jesus. Father, bless your parents today. Father, I pray for any parents today that their children, their heart is heavy this morning because it's a reminder that their children aren't living for you. There's some here today and their children are lost, they're wayward, they're the prodigals. And maybe there's some here today, Father, that they've given up. They've almost given up. It's, oh, I can't pray anymore. But Father, you haven't given up. Your love endures forever. Your love endures all things. And Father, for those grandparents today or those parents today whose hearts are so heavy, I'm praying for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit upon them, of your love and your compassion for them, but then also for their children and grandchildren that aren't living for you. That they will not give up praying. They will not give up interceding. That through whatever news they receive, they will not give up. They'll stay on their knees. They will intercede on behalf. They'll intercede on behalf. Because your word does not go out void. It does not come back void. There's a return on your void. It accomplishes the purpose. So, Father, refresh these prayers today. Refresh this passion today. And then, Father, there's some people in this room this morning that they've just been, your Spirit's just been working on. And you've just been speaking to their hearts about the children today. There's a fresh passion for children that's rising within them. Father, I pray that they would respond to you today. They'd be touched by you and they'd say yes. Yes, when I'm asked, I'll say yes. For some of you, you're not going to ask to be asked. You're not going to wait to be asked. You're just going to go right to them today and you're going to say, I need to be involved. I need to be involved. I have to be involved. And I pray for revitalization, Father, and a fresh wind of your Spirit that blows through the children's ministries. A fresh wind of the Spirit that blows. Oh, Jesus, thank you.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.